Today's text is Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Hear the word of God for this morning. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. "I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. And as quickly as I got up here, I am going to leave. But I'll be right back. There are some things that are important. And since we're talking about water this morning, I'm going to keep mine with me. Well, thank you all for having me here with you this morning. It truly is a pleasure to be here with you all. And a special thank you to Reverend Isom for inviting me and giving me this opportunity. Before we begin, if you would, I would just ask that you would join me in a quick word of prayer. Gracious, merciful, loving, and eternal God, Lord, let the words of my mouth this morning and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, as Reverend Isom mentioned earlier, I am from the Carter County area, and growing up in a little mountain community like that comes with all of the typical mountain stories about life and about living. One of those stories in particular that I remember well and am fond of was a story about an old man who lived back in one of the hollers, or way back in the mountains there. And on a particular Sunday, he was headed down to the town, and as he was walking along, he passed by the river. Well, much to his surprise, there was a whole group of people gathered by the river, and some guy standing out in the middle of the river. Now, he didn't know a whole lot about church or about Jesus, and so he wasn't sure what was going on, but what he didn't realize at the time is that he had stumbled upon an old-fashioned baptismal service taking place. Well, curious, the gentleman wandered out into the river to where the pastor was standing, and the pastor, knowing this gentleman, thought he was going to seize upon the opportunity and he was going to baptize this guy. So he asked the old man, and he said, "Sir, are you ready to find Jesus?" The old man said, "Well, preacher, yeah, I am." So the pastor dunked him under the water, and he brought him back up, and he said, "Would you find Jesus?" And the gentleman looked at him, and he said, "Well, preacher, no, I didn't." Kind of shocked and taken back, the pastor thought, "Well, sir, are you ready to find Jesus?" And he said, "Yeah, pastor, I am." So he dunked him a second time and held him under a little bit longer the second time. And he brought him back up and he said, "Did you find Jesus?" He said, "No, I didn't." Now the pastor's kind of flustered at this point. And so he dunked him a third time and he wanted to make sure it stuck this time. So he held him even longer. And he brought him back up and a little frustrated, he said, "Well, did you find Jesus or not?" And the old man wiped his eyes and looked at the pastor and he said, "Preacher, are you sure this is where he fell in at?" For some of us this morning, our baptism probably felt a lot like this man's, floundering around in some muddy river water, trying to see if we could find Jesus, uncertain of whether we had actually got him or not, and uncertain about what this baptism really meant for us. This morning, I am grateful for our text in Matthew because it shows just how intentional Jesus was with his baptism. and what that means for us here today. Now, if you're like me, one of the things that I always appreciate is figuring out where I've been, how I got here, and where I am headed to. And so for a little background, we're going to dig in real quickly to recognize that what we have seen so far of Jesus' life is that Jesus came born as a human baby here in a manger in one of the lowliest possible ways. We've seen his family's flight to Egypt as they escaped from King Herod. We've seen their return to settle in Nazareth. And now, the first thing we see about Jesus' appearance is this text of Jesus being baptized. Aside from the account in Luke where we see at 12 years old, Jesus shows up at the temple. So this tells me something right off the bat. There is something here. To go straight from baby Jesus to Jesus being baptized means that there's an important gem or gems to be mined out of this text. What I'd say to us today is, in the Gospel of Matthew, I think there are many things that we can learn. But this morning, I want to focus on three. So if you're that person who actually likes to take notes so you can remember things, this is your moment. If you're that person who also likes the Cliff Note version or to read the cover of a book without reading the whole thing, this is also your moment. Three things: family, obedience, mission. Family, obedience, mission. And I'm going to have you all say that with me, just so we all remember it. Family, obedience, mission. So family, hear this. There is no limit that Jesus won't go to in order to be counted as one of us. Let me say that again. There is no limit that Jesus won't go to in order to be counted as one of us. Have you ever wondered why Jesus was baptized? I have. I mean, we see all throughout the Bible that Jesus was without sin. We also see in the verses just before this that John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, came preaching a message of repentance and baptism because the kingdom of God was at hand. So if Jesus was without sin, then why be baptized? From our text again this morning in Matthew 15, it says this: "But Jesus said, 'It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires.' And so John agreed to baptize him." The NRSV version says it this way: "But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness.'" If you think back with me just to a few months ago, and for some of us it seems like an eternity ago already, during Christmas time, we saw that God came in the incarnate Jesus by way of a human baby to be born in this lowly manger in probably the lowest possible state imaginable, as a way of showing us that everyone was included in this family that he was bringing about. He came as a way of showing to us that no one is excluded from inclusion in this family, no matter where they are on that journey. As we get ready to travel into Lent this week and onward to Easter, we are also going to see that Jesus lives his life, serves, and even dies in such a way to show that everyone, including the thief that hung on the cross beside him, was a part of this family of Jesus. Jesus came as a picture to us of who God was and what God's nature was for us. And the first thing we see Jesus do is get baptized. The reason that Jesus does this is because in his baptism, he identifies himself with us, with humanity, with sinful humans, even though he himself was without sin. I love this picture. I love how beautiful it is that Jesus' first thing is to stand alongside us in baptism, to be counted among us. But this is just the beginning, because Jesus goes on throughout the rest of his ministry doing the very same thing. We see that he eats with the outcasts and sinners. We see him spending time and time again with those who are sick, who are destitute, those who have diseases, those who are downcast. Those are the people that Jesus spends time with. Jesus was so committed to this lifestyle of showing that everyone is included in this family, that even in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, it says that he would be numbered among the transgressors. Our scribes and Pharisees, those self-righteous bunch of people, would even call Jesus a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of sinners, because of his intentionality with identifying himself with us. Jesus wanted us to understand that while he was fully God, he was also fully man, and he understood us. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way in chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." My favorite part. "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Jesus was tempted in all points of his life. He knew what it was not to have a place to lay his head down at night. He knew what it was to be persecuted, to be mocked, to be tempted, to be tested. He knew what it was to be human. And here, at the Jordan, he joined us by participating in baptism. There is no limit that Jesus won't go to in order to be counted as one of us, showing us that all people from all nations are part of the Jesus family. Second, obedience. The first person that we see throughout this narrative who is portraying obedience is Jesus himself. Verse 15 says, "But Jesus said, 'It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires.'" We've just talked about how Jesus wasn't baptized as any way of demonstrating repentance from sin. We've talked about how Jesus came and through his baptism identified himself with us, with humanity. But we can also see that Jesus' baptism was him being obedient to the Father's will. Another character, and one that I want to highlight this morning, that we often tend to forget about and gloss over as we read through this passage, as we get to a beautiful picture of the Trinity with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there together at his baptism, is somebody called John the Baptist. I love this story And this recounting of Jesus' baptism in particular are told in Matthew, because Matthew is the only gospel that records this conversation that takes place between John and Jesus. This is what they say. It says at verse 13, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. 'I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you,' he says. 'So why are you coming to me?' Can you imagine how John must have felt? Think about it. He was supposed to be baptizing Jesus? Really? It reminds me of a story of a friend of mine named Caleb who had just graduated from seminary, and he had taken a job as a chaplain at a local hospital. He'd been there for a couple months and was loving his job, praying for people, and just spending time loving on them while they were in their stay at the hospital. One evening, one of the local pastors who'd been in the community for many, many years had a heart attack. And they brought him into the emergency room and they ended up admitting him there to the hospital. Up until this point, Caleb hadn't had any problems going around and praying with the visitors and loving on them and taking care of them. But he did have a problem with doing the same for this pastor. Now, it didn't have anything to do with the pastor himself. The pastor was a wonderful guy. It did, however, have everything to do with Caleb. See, Caleb was feeling all of the insecurities of life because up to this point, he knew that he could walk in any room and pray for anybody, and if he made a mistake, they would never know the difference. This pastor, however, he would know. And as a result, Caleb was afraid to go and spend any time with him. The irony of this is, as Caleb ended up being told a couple days later by the pastor, once they finally got connected, was that very night, the pastor who had been admitted there to the hospital was dealing with his own insecurities of his finitude and with death. So much so that that night, he was afraid to close his eyes because he was afraid he wouldn't wake up the next morning. And so there, laying in the hospital bed by himself, he kept himself awake the whole night because he was afraid to go to sleep. I can't imagine what that feeling must have been like. And to talk to Caleb, who now retells this story, often wishing he could go back and change things, also bears the weight of what that was that evening, that opportunity that he had missed. Because what Caleb realized later was that what the pastor needed in that moment wasn't some polished prayer of some professional pastor. What he needed was a sibling in Christ who would come and spend time with him, who would love on him, who would listen, who would offer a simple prayer, but most important, who would offer his presence. I can imagine that John the Baptist in our story today probably felt much the same way. I can imagine how insecure he felt when Jesus approached him. See, John had been baptizing people left and right, but baptize Jesus? Jesus didn't need much from John, though. He didn't need much from John. What he did need was John's obedience. What he needed John to do was to be faithful to the calling that John had been given to baptize people, so that Jesus could in turn be faithful to the calling to which Jesus had been called. He didn't need John to be perfect. He didn't need John to be better than John was. He didn't need John to be anything other than obedient to his calling. God has called each of us this morning to our own callings. And He's calling us to be obedient to the callings to which we have received. And in so doing, I would say this. If we're obedient to the calls that we have been given, then great things will happen, folks. But the kicker is, our obedience and our participation with Jesus in this, it's a requirement. Lastly, mission. Jesus' baptism story is the start of His public ministry. Up to this point, we see that Jesus has grown up, He's learning, He's learned to listen, He's learned to discern God's voice and the direction that God has Him on. But in this moment of being baptized, Jesus steps out into public ministry, daily living that ministry out of serving others and fulfilling the calling to which God has given him. What I love is that in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 4, immediately following our story, we see a few things. We see that Jesus was immediately driven out into the wilderness by the Spirit. We see that he was tempted by Satan. We see Jesus start to preach. We see Jesus call his disciples. And we even see Jesus going about Galilee, healing the sick and the diseased. All within 25 verses. So for those of us here this morning that have been baptized, I have a question for you. What have you done with your 25 verses? What are you waiting for? See, when Jesus was baptized, he immediately started into ministry. He didn't let any grass grow under his feet. The beautiful thing for us this morning is that in our baptism, what we do when we're baptized is we affirm that we, at that moment, are going to partner with Jesus in the mission and ministries that we have been given. I love that this is the picture that we have. The first real picture of Jesus in his ministry is not only one of hearing his call to mission and ministry, but a perfect picture for us from Jesus and John about being obedient to that call, the call of mission and ministry to share the good news and the gospel that all people are part of this Jesus family. As we wrap up our time together this morning, the good news for us is this. No matter where you are, this very day on your faith journey with Jesus, Jesus' baptism, this story, this one's for you. If you're that person who you just waded out into the river and you are floundering around in the muddy river water looking for Jesus, trying to find him, or maybe at one point you actually found him but you let him go, this story this morning is for you. And this is what I want you to hear. Jesus came to save each and every person. He worked too hard in his ministry and in his life for anyone to tell you differently. The invitation by Jesus himself has been extended. The invitation to come and join him in his Jesus family. For those of us this morning who have already made that commitment and we've been baptized, the message for you this morning is also very simple. Our mission and our work here is simple. But our participation and obedience with Jesus in the ministries that we have been given is required of us. And in so doing, what we do is we offer our brothers and sisters an opportunity to also hear and respond to that call, recognizing that they are loved and a part of this Jesus family. This, my friends, is the great work to which we have been called to do through our baptisms with Jesus. So let us remember this and be thankful. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so be it.